Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. It's Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. With the Lord's help, we'll continue to bring a few more important thoughts to meditate upon in the message we've been sharing this week, God, our victory. He is our victory. He is the answer to our problems. He is the way that is made through the situations we face every day, the troubles, the trials. He will make a way for you because He loves you and He dwells within you. Paul wrote to Timothy and stated, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Remember, as I mentioned on a preceding broadcast, I quoted Galatians 2:20, where Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live not by his faith." He didn't say that. He said, "I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." That there's such a richness and depth that words cannot plumb the depth of it. Only the Spirit of God can reveal how important and significant that is. Christ loved his people. He loved you so much. He was willing to go through all that he went. He experienced the trials, the experiences of human life, and the most horrific of suffering and death. Why? To satisfy God's judgment, so that we could know him, so that his Spirit could dwell within us, and that we, when our time is over on this earth, we will be with him forever. Life everlasting. It is overwhelming as we there's just no words. How can we grasp and appreciate God's great love that he was willing to do that? In Romans 5:5, we're told the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost who is given unto us. And so just as God spoke, he said, "Let there be light." We are children of his. We're created in his image and likeness. So that's why it is important what we say. We cannot continually speak out negative things that oppose the word of God. Our confession basically is that's what we're going to get, because as God spoke, what we speak, there's power in the words that we are able to speak. We can never rise above what we say, our confession. We either reinforce our faith with our confession, we speak according to God's word and ways, or we tear it down and we walk in defeat. When we begin to confess the wrong things, well, Satan hears it, and immediately he begins to move against us in the area of confession. For example, if you confess, "I'm sick all the time, I just don't feel good," as not in answering a response to a question, because there's time to be real. But I trust you know what I'm talking about. If you say that, you're going to be sick all the time. If we confess poverty, we're going to be poor all the time, instead of believing God to bless our situation, to provide for our needs in a financial way. If we confess doubts all the time, well, we become doubters, not victors. And so our words are so important. Hebrews 4:12 states, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." And verse 14 says, "Seeing then that we have, praise God, a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." This word profession literally means in the Greek confession. So we need to begin to possess, to profess, and confess, because if we profess and confess, we will possess that which we have, because God has given us power over the devil. That's what it says in Luke 10:19. Why? Well, because Jesus said so. He said in the closing chapter of Mark, 16th chapter, we can lay hands on the sick, we can cast out devils, we will speak with new tongues, speaking of the heavenly language. Why? Because Jesus says so. But we first have to become aware as to who we are in Christ, that He lives in us, and even more importantly, who Christ is in us. He's not limited. He's not powerless. He is not afraid of the devil. He's not deceived. He's not unwise. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Praise God. Titus 3:8 states, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will," he's speaking to Titus, "that thou wilt affirm constantly," and it's be faithful to what I'm telling you, "that they who have believed in God," does that describe you, "might be careful to maintain good works." And he goes on to say, "These things are good and profitable unto men." So, what do we affirm? What good works do we maintain? We affirm what God has said in His Word. It is simply agreeing with and witnessing of what God's Word declares. We are to hold fast the confession of our faith. Hebrews 4:14, let me share that with you. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." And he concludes with this verse, that chapter, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Praise God. And Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering, for He is faithful who promised." And then let's take a look at James, the first chapter. Well, I'm going to start at verse 5 through 7. "If any of you lack wisdom," and trust me, beloved, we all need God's wisdom, His discernment, His direction. And this is an exhortation, because there's times we are not sure, and it's so critical that we have the mind of the Lord. We look at the life of David. He was constantly seeking the will of God. When Ziklag was invaded, he sought the answer through the priest, the ephod, and, you know, simple yes or no questions. Shall I do this or shall I not? And God made it simple. He said, yes, you should, or no, you shouldn't. When you hear the rustling in the tops of the mulberry trees, yes, attack the Philistines. And so God doesn't want us wandering about in confusion, but sometimes He will make us wait, and it's important to wait on God. Remember, Saul was given a word to wait for the prophet Samuel to come, and he felt he was delayed, and so he went ahead and offered the sacrifice, which only the priest was lawfully endued to do, and he was rebuked by Samuel. He said, "You've done foolishly." And so, because he wasn't willing to obey God, he wasn't willing to let the Word of God guide him. And so it's important that we understand God has not left us weaponless. He's not left us as victims or orphans. We can lay hands on the sick. We can cast out devils. We can speak in tongues. As I said, Mark 16. Now, if you don't believe that, well, you know, just rip that out of your Bible. It's just that simple. If you don't believe, if you think that's not for today, well, then rip it out. It doesn't belong there for you. But in my Bible, every Bible I have, Mark 16, that chapter is there. Praise God. Hallelujah. So We can't be double-minded. That's what James is warning against. And Psalm 107 and 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Praise God, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. That is a fact. That is something that Jesus has done. And in closing, let's just take a few moments to look at Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And this is the confession then. David says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. And then the observation of doing that, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He'll cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And if you do that, then we're not going to have fear overtake us. Remember, I was saying, oh God, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, right? Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, for the arrow that flieth by day. He's covering all manners of possible fearful situations, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Only with thine eyes, verse 8, shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And the Lord ends by speaking himself prophetically at the end. He says, because he has set his love upon me, that's you and me, brother and sister, therefore will I deliver him. That's a word for you today. I will set him on high because he's known my name. He shall call upon me. This is not the psalmist speaking, it's the Lord, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. That's a word for some of you today. Just write that down. I will be with him in trouble. If you're in trouble, write that down, because the next portion says, I will deliver him and honor him, and with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Praise God. Well, beloved, we've got much to rejoice for. The word of God just will lift your spirits. It does mine. Hallelujah. And I pray for you every day, my radio family. Some of you I've never met, my UCM partners, I know you listen. And just know that I love you and pray for you every day. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.